The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about itty bitty podcasts. Podcasts.
Merry Mini Monday, Chunkies. I'm Carter.
I'm Justin Aaron Dozier.
Weird. I'm Jordan.
Ew. Let's talk about box office ball to
please
start. There haven't been a ton of movies in our box office ball. Mm-mm. Out.
I think they kind of stopped doing them this year.
Yeah, they're sort of taking a break from movies this year, yeah. I heard.
I am in the lead, but I think it will soon be relinquished. There's $327 million, which it's funny to think that that's about to get passed. Movies make so much money.
Yeah, it's a pretty
$327 million. Ralph Fiennes has made the most for my team because of Doolittle, actually. Mm. A little bit over $180 million. Ali Wong
did a lot more like it.
Yeah. Ali Wong is about $150 million for Birds of Prey, which had a name change recently to try and make more money.
Yep.
Woo.
Yikes. And then Doge is in second with that $180 million
Doolittle
money for RDJ.
Doolittle De Niro.
And then
he's not in that.
Is Team Jordan, but
got $0.
The three of us, it'll be a wash. I think each of us have somebody in Onward.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which we'll be releasing this coming weekend. I want to talk about the news, and let's try in the news a different way now.
Okay.
I think I need to take advantage of the broadcast communications undergraduate degree that I have.
Sure.
Wait, that's your undergrad?
It is.
That's mine too.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
And so I did have a dream at one point of like being an anchor. And so from now on
a boat.
Yes. I want to be what keeps people safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also a hindrance in good action movies.
That's fair.
I'm going to start reading off the news, and that'll be what we talk about. And then we'll see if you guys can catch on. But once at the end, when I say they were all caught, and then we'll say, end the news.
My favorite part of like everything cool is how they lay out exactly how it's going to happen before they do it. It's just so everybody's on the same page about like how great it's going to be.
Hope we're better at this than we are at extra credit.
And we need like a good like news flash noise.
I got you.
If any of those exist,
I got you.
For free.
You want us to do it live or
no?
Okay.
No.
And it's like, it's the news time.
It's the news time. It's the news time. A Bob stepping down, a Bob beefing up, a Bond going long, and a boogeyman with a beehive. These were all caught
in the news.
So we're starting with such a strange thing. Bob Iger.
Yeah.
How do we think about that? He's not booted. Like, he's literally going maybe down a rung.
Yeah.
But he's done all these things.
I think that's
massive things for Disney.
That's been in the works for a while. Like, I think that was always his plan, was to build Disney into this, to turn it from a house of original ideas into a conglomerate of all these other IPs, and then step down and hand it over to somebody else.
He could not wait to not have that responsibility anymore.
For real.
It goes over to another Bob. Bob Chapek, is that how you pronounce his name?
I have no idea.
He was over Disney Parks.
Yeah.
And so it's not like this guy, it's like the other Bob is there.
That's the exact transition that Iger made too, right? He was over Parks and then ended up being over the whole thing.
Oh,
isn't
maybe
that
that's
right?
Like the next
I don't
man
know.
Up.
I don't remember.
Our Bob beefing up is Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
There's a lot of news out there on he's trying to bulk up. This was happening like last fall. He's having trouble, which I mean, he's not, it doesn't seem like he's got the body.
No.
To be a real big boy.
So I think he can do it.
With all this news, though, how necessary is it to the two of you for Batman to be ripped?
Very.
Strong.
How does it have to, like Henry Cavill ripped for Batman? Why can't we have a lean? I think if there was any, I think because of his angst, I'm fine for him. He doesn't have to look like, John Michael from like Arrested Development or whatever his name is.
George Michael.
Yeah.
The muscle suit.
He doesn't have like a Michael Cera or something.
Yeah, I think there's a point though with Batman where he part of what makes him scary is that he can take you.
I think if you want a lean and lithe Batman, that's when Dick Grayson is Batman because he's an acrobat. Or that's Batman Beyond.
Okay.
Where the suit can help him with the strength.
But Batman's a big boy. Batman needs to be a big boy. Yeah,
even Christian Bale is probably one of the most slender Batmans we've had.
He's the smallest Batman we've had, but he's still big.
Good enough.
Yeah. Well, and I think Pattinson, I mean, humans can build muscle. That's how it goes. I think Pattinson can get there, but
Nanjiani.
I think.
Yeah, for real.
Part of it is also Batman needs to be a very good, like martial artist.
Yeah.
And there, I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, if you're small, you can hit a bunch, but a big dude comes along, what are you going to do? Yeah. Maybe I don't know anything about martial arts.
Well, it's
maybe
definitely it's like, a big part of his role prep understanding.
It's the balance between bulk and acrobatics, though, because I never for a second bought that Ben Affleck's Batman could run very fast.
Right.
He's just too big for that. So I think there's that balance.
But what's the difference, though? Because Henry Cavill, I could watch him sprint and be like, I bet he could still go faster.
that's true.
And he's bigger than Affleck.
That's true.
And I think it's that Affleck has...
Affleck seemed sadder. Just more slow emotionally.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm blind and an idiot, but I feel like Pattinson can pull it off. I think he can get shreddy boys.
Love the suit, by the way.
Yeah.
Really, really into the way the suit looks.
Love your suit.
Sorry, I had to beat you to it.
I know. I thought... It's funny, like, especially with such an iconic hero, iconic pop culture character as Batman, how many stories and counter stories there are about things. It's like, well, that wasn't Pattinson on the motorcycle. That's his stunt double. And then there's all the people that's like, they just ripped this from Nolan or from Snyder's because it looks exactly like Ben Affleck's face in some of these pictures. And it's just so funny, all the stuff around it. But it's definitely the suit that has the, we've got it again. We've got the.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at the gauntlets to tell that it's the Pattinson suit. I mean, they're very unique gauntlets to the live action Batman movies.
Yeah. They look more like Talon from Snyder's New 52 run.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would be a very interesting story to tell. But I think you're right about your 0 year.
Yeah. I think they're going for more of a 0 year thing because Riddler's the main villain in that. I don't think that they're going to go full on apocalyptic Gotham.
Lions in the Colosseum.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we're going something really tonally similar to 0 year because it looks like the new 52 suit, mixture of like Talon's gauntlets. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Court of Owls play into future movies. Dude,
the Court of Owls is such an untapped gem of storytelling in the Batman universe.
How lucky are we to live through that iconic time in Batman history?
I know.
That's some of the best Batman storytelling. Anyway.
If not the best.
Yeah.
Well, I need to read it.
It's very good.
Because I don't know what you're talking about.
So good.
This is going to be our longest Bond film ever by about 15 minutes, 2 hours and 43 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Does my question for this though, with this movie coming out and being long, which it's called No Time to Die.
Yeah.
Every die movie comes into my head at that point. Does it matter to you how long a movie is? And if so, in what context? This is not a big deal for me. I'm excited maybe to find out it's 2 hours and 40, like I'm still going to go see it.
Yeah.
But it does not make a difference to me.
If it's a movie I'm not interested in and it's got a super long runtime, that can be intimidating because I already am going in not wanting to sit through it. But if it's a movie I'm the least bit interested in, make it 8 hours.
I think it all depends on the script. If the movie can support it, that's fine. But if we have things like we did this a ton in the Hobbit trilogy, where we artificially pad the runtime with a bunch of action sequences and our characters are in their journey. Not their physical journey to the mountain, right? But in their emotional journey, their relational journey with each other. They're in the same spot at the end of that action sequence as they were at the beginning.
Yeah.
Some Marvel movies actually have this problem pretty big as well, where there's just an extra action sequence and it pads the runtime to another 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
If the script can support it, I'm all for it.
Yeah. It's certainly different times. I mean, we've got No Time to Die coming out and it's 2 hours and 43 minutes. And we just reviewed the first Rambo movie, which was just about 93 minutes.
Yeah.
And so like, that's more than an hour longer for action movies. And it didn't feel like action was usually the genre that's going to be long like that. It was like your epic Sound
like
of Music
piece and that
Gone
kind of
with
thing.
The Wind, like things like that. But it doesn't make too big of a difference to me either. I think there's certainly an amount of time that would be surprising. Like when the new Christopher Nolan movie comes out, Tenet, if it's
6 hours,
if it's
fine.
Less than 2 hours, I'm kind of surprised.
I'm disappointed if it's
Chris
less than
2 hours.
Chris
seems to go long on a lot of his movies. But yeah, really interesting. Have y'all seen the trailer for Candyman?
No. Yes.
Okay. It's creepy.
Yes.
The conversation I want to have around this, and it's funny because I watched Jordan Peele have an interview. I think it was on IMDb about like the influences that he has, like which is clearly Hitchcockian. Candyman was a big role for him because it was a big time African American antagonist in the original. And so our scary guy is black. And
same guy. It's the same actor.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's,
oh wow.
Really interesting. He's also in it, but yeah, it's going to be a weird twist on it. But my thing
is a sequel,
right,
to the original set in the same place, you know, 20 something years later, which right. is, yeah, it's an interesting approach for sure, especially for horror.
One of the reasons I wanted to bring this up too, is this isn't being directed by Jordan Peele.
Is it not?
No, this is not. And that's
producing, right?
Yes, that's perfect. Oh. Because I want to talk about this. I don't know. How much of a difference do you think, and I'm looking at my Spielberg guy too, how much of a difference do you think it makes for someone to be a director over producing a film?
It depends on how hands-on the producer is, I think, because it, you know, we have things like Justice League, which were pretty famously ruined by the studio heads, which would include the people who produced the film and the rumors that they were micromanaged to death, but traditionally, I think a director has more impact because they're on set every day with the actors, yeah. unless they're shooting B-unit stuff. But
it does not mean much to me to see a name attached as a producer.
Yeah.
Because, and I bring up Spielberg because Spielberg would happen to Spielberg all the time.
Yeah.
Produced by. It's just saying like, right. well, how much? He's going to be a big time producer for supposedly the new Indiana Jones
I was about
movie.
To say the rumors that that's happening with Indy 5.
They're saying very hands-on though.
James Mangold is going to be directing.
Yep. But I think this feels, I don't think I like it. I totally get it. It's going to make a lot more money for people to see Jordan Peele.
Yep.
But people are going to walk in expecting a Jordan Peele directed film. And I don't think it hurts the director too much because anyone can say, hey, it says produced by.
Yeah. yeah.
Or influenced by or something. Yeah. But it has a different weight to me to find out that but do I also want to know that he's a part of it? So that does excite me.
I think Jordan Peele, of anybody in Hollywood, has earned the right for a little bit of trust to say that if sure. he's decided that he's going to, is he executive producer? I don't know what he's, if he's decided that he's going to produce and slap his name on this, it's probably going to be pretty good.
I mean, I would imagine
I feel like he's got his pick at this
He also
point.
Wrote the screenplay. So that's a huge part.
Yeah. That's go. A big deal.
To me, that's the bigger draw because like it, you know, producer credits can kind of mean anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if I bought you lunch one day on set, you could credit me as a producer on your movie. You know what I mean? There's like a
right.
kind of a fluctuating criteria for what that means.
So I mean, Scorsese's produced a ton of very non-Scorsese-esque movies.
Right. For sure. I think I am all for, and I think we would all like green light. People need to research a little bit before going to see a movie with things like this. Like the reason I wanted to bring this up is, okay, make sure. Like, make sure if you are a favorite and you want to make sure that you've seen every Jordan Peele directed movie and this is on your list.
Shouldn't be.
Look into that.
Yeah.
Like, and that doesn't mean you're not going to also be somebody that's influenced by wanting to see that sure. movie.
Oh, I thought he was directing it until right now.
Right. So like go in and check that stuff out. And it happens a lot with really big names. You're never going to see that with someone who's on the way up that it's being produced by them.
Right. Yeah.
I think once they've reached that point, which maybe that's a pretty fun marker to say how much Hollywood respects them.
Right.
Or how much, at least the viewer, I guess, is who drives that. But
when was it Deadpool 2 that turned that on its head with its trailers from the studio that brought you and then named like a bunch of flops as their things? That's pretty funny. No, I mean, honestly, instantly less interested in this movie once you said it wasn't directed by Jordan Peele. Like in the moment you said it.
Studios will do that though with a lot of big, like, do you guys remember the show Falling Skies on TNT?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their whole marketing lead up to that show was making a big deal about how it's Steven Spielberg on TV. It's Spielberg on TV. And just, he produced it as an executive producer and was like very not involved with it.
He's but doing that for Amazing Stories now too, for Apple TV.
Exactly.
They're doing the same kind of thing.
But they put his name on it to hope to draw people in, which kind of feels like what might be happening with Candyman.
Yeah. And could that's, be. It's kind of
except for him writing the
except
script.
Writing is except a big for he wrote the script.
So that's why it's like, look into it.
Yeah.
Look at the credits and all that stuff. If you're not, as familiar with IMDb, that's listed before the actors are. So you're able to see the massive influence on a movie by just hardly having to scroll down. I'd love to end today's episode playing a game.
Ooh.
I love those.
I promise we won't do extra credit. I told y'all we wouldn't do it the entire Saturday afternoon except for that one time.
Yeah.
So we're not.
That's good.
So let's play Rumpelstiltskin.
We see our destiny. Win the Rumpelstiltskin game.
Sorry to those of you in your car that just swerved into oncoming traffic.
I'm not going to apologize.
If you're listening to this, if you're listening to this, like as you're falling asleep, we're not responsible for the dreams you're going to have because of that little stinger.
March 6th, PG-13, hour and 41 minutes. Okay. If you've never played Rumpelstiltskin before, played along with us, I am reading a synopsis of a movie that I am assuming that neither of my co-hosts have heard of, and they have to guess the name strictly based off of the synopsis. Here's our first one. Sentenced to a South African prison for 12 years, anti-apartheid activist Tim Jenkin and his fellow inmates devise a daring plan to escape. Daniel Radcliffe, Ian Hart. That's like Daniel Radcliffe's.
If you give me 10 guesses for the first name you were going to read, Daniel Radcliffe would not have been in that list.
Hey, what's the protagonist's name?
Tim Jenkin.
It's called No Tim to Die.
this director's filmography is this movie. Escape from Pretoria.
Wait, is that the name of this movie?
I just said it. That's how you not play Rumpelstiltskin.
I didn't even get my
guess. Good job.
Escape from Pretoria.
Way to go, guys. It's been a little bit. Good guess. Dude, yeah. You got it dead on.
That's a point me.
Here's our next one. I do this kind of stuff. Just trying to show that I'm human. PG-13, hour and 49 minutes, comes out March 13th. You don't need a past to have a future.
That's it. Huh.
Okay. This is the Here and Now Boy.
This is a movie about an AI that gains consciousness, and it's called The Turing Test.
Very clever. This movie's called Bloodshot with Vin Diesel. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
It's called what?
Bloodshot.
Bloodshot?
Bloodshot.
Bloodshot.
With Vin Diesel.
My family.
They've been shot into blood.
March 13th.
Don't shoot my blood.
An hour and 44 minutes. A New York detective investigates the death of his daughter, who was murdered while on her honeymoon in London, the victim of an apparent serial killer. Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
This one's called...
Tamka Jansen?
This one's called Honeymoon Bunches of Oats. Because it's a serial killer.
Oh, I get it now.
Honeymoon Nut Cheerios would also work.
This movie's called The Ripper. She was killed by Jack the Ripper.
This movie's called The Postcard Killings.
Mm-hmm.
So intimidating.
Dang.
People are going to talk about that for a long time.
Wow.
Y'all remember when everybody thought The Snowman was going to be good and then it wasn't?
March 13th.
You mean Jack Frost?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, okay. My bad. Yeah.
An hour and 38 minutes. A distraught woman suspects her teenage son is plotting a school shooting, but when he slips through the cracks of the system, she must take matters into her own hands.
This is a dark movie.
Jeez. This is a dark one.
It's called Mommy's Boy.
Ooh, nice. This movie's called Hallmometer.
This movie's called Mom, but wait. It's an acronym.
Oh, no.
Mothers of Monsters.
Oh!
Golly.
That is grim.
Yikes.
Golly. I have one more.
I feel like we didn't stop and appreciate Hallmometer quite enough.
We appreciated it as much as it deserved.
Fair enough. Coming out March 13th, an hour and 55 minutes. PG. They wanted to make sure we knew it was PG. The true story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss.
Oh, no. Oh. Oh, no.
Gary Sinise is in this, y'all. Yeah, guys, Gary Sinise plays
Jeremy Camp's dad.
Jeremy Camp's dad. And Jeremy Camp's mom is played by Shania Twain.
Oh, wow.
Are you going to go see this movie?
I'm busy that day, I think.
This guy also did the movie I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah, that feels right.
Woodlawn.
Yeah.
So the true story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss.
This movie's called Camp Rock. Colon, no, not that one.
This movie's called Frosted Tips, colon, raw and real, the true Jeremy Camp story.
Oh my gosh. This movie is called I Still Believe.
Oh yeah.
That good?
Nope.
To end this episode, I was trying to look up the budget for this film because I was going to give y'all a budget too, but we can assume it's big enough to show up on IMDb's coming soon.
Yeah.
To end this episode, I'd love to hear your name, and I would love for you to make a biopic about a music artist that people might not ever care about. My name is Carter, and my biopic is going to be called Otherfoot, and it's the whoever the least popular member of Switchfoot is, but it's just only about him. That's I don't even think anyone else in Switchfoot is in it.
Yeah,
maybe it's the bass player.
Bass player's Tim.
Tim's pretty cool.
Tim's pretty cool.
I'm Doge, and my biopic is called Mumford and Dads, and it's the dads of the guys in Mumford and Sons, but they never meet each other. There's just I don't know how many people are in Mumford and Sons. 12?
Who knows?
And it's just 12 different sons. 12 different men, each taking their children to banjo lessons.
Many sons throughout the whole movie.
Yeah. My movie's Jordan, and my movie's called Being Ashley, and it's the story of Ashley Simpson's meteoric crash. Ooh, after her
I'd see that movie.
Her failed SNL
Deep
jig.
Impact 2.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then she just does a jig and leaves.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that's
is it called Jig?
No, it's called Being Ashley.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I dig that.
Like a phoenix rising from the Ashleys?
Sorry. Nope. It's called Simply Ashley, the Ashley Simpson story.
I dig it.
I thought you were going to say it's called Being Ashley and it's about Ashley Olsen and Mary-Kate is not in it.
My sister and I, everybody thinks we're the same.
Says you.
You can't prove it, I guess.
You can't prove it.